Well, as Jim mentioned, our invitation song is going to be When Jesus Comes. And we're going to talk about that song a little bit this evening, so I'll just leave it up behind us here so you can see the lyrics of it. And we'll think about the parable of the 10 virgins, first of all, in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And I'll just go ahead and black that out for right now. But let's look at Matthew 25, 1 through 13, and then we will talk about this song, will Jesus find us watching? And such a good question, because we are in need of preparation every single day, and we need to stay ready for Jesus' return. So, Matthew 25, starting in verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So this is the parable that Jesus gives to warn us about his return. So let's think about that tonight for just a minute. Of course, in this parable, we've got 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. The wise brought extra oil. That is, they were prepared for the long wait that they were expecting. But the foolish did not bring that extra oil, and so their oil ran out. And they had to return to the marketplace in order to buy extra. But while they were gone, the bridegroom came. He opened the door to the wedding feast, and those who were prepared went into the wedding feast with him, and then they closed the door. Well, after they closed the door, the 5 foolish came back and knocked on the door and said, "Let us in." But it was too late. They were not prepared. This song, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" or sometimes it's titled "When Jesus Comes," has these wonderful lyrics that are based upon this parable. And it loosely based, it says, "When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright." And that language there, with the lamps all trimmed and bright, is a reference to this parable in Matthew chapter 25. And so the song is talking about our being faithful to the Lord and being prepared for his second coming. And the second stanza says, "If at the dawn or the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done." And that's a reference to another parable in the same chapter, the parable of the talents. And that's in verses 14 through 30. And then finally, in the fourth stanza, he says, "Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there?" And so the song generally encourages us to be ready for the Lord's return, regardless of what time of life it may be. Whether it's early in the morning, whether it's late at night, or during the middle of the day, whenever it might be, we need to be prepared for the Lord's return. We just sang that one. I went too far back. All right. So the chorus says, "Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home, Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? And so the question is asked in the chorus as to whether or not we are watching and waiting today. And that's what we want to talk about this evening. So for Jesus to find us watching, we need to think about three things. First of all, for Jesus to find us watching, we need to be prepared. For Jesus to find us watching, we need to be patient. And for Jesus to find us watching, we must expect the consequences of proper and improper preparation. Will Jesus find us watching? What will our state be when either we depart this life or the Lord returns? We need to prepare so that he will find us watching regardless of what our situation might be. Well, first of all, for Jesus to find us watching, we must be prepared. Who must prepare? Well, the whole world. God commands the whole world to prepare. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31 that the times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. So God wants everyone to prepare. And for what is it that we must prepare? Jesus' return and final judgment. We just talked about that judgment in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31. But listen to Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead." And so Jesus is the judge. And when he returns, he will return to judge the world in righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." We need to prepare for what? For the judgment. Why must we be prepared? Because we do not know when the end shall come. Our end might come with our death, and death can be something that is expected, or it can be something that is unexpected. We just do not know when we will die. But we know that the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 15, to those who were saying, "Let's go here to this city and sell our goods and make money, in a year or so we'll come back." And he said, "You ought rather to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." And the acknowledgement there is to the Lord's desire for things within our life, not making our plans without thinking about him. The other alternative to death is that the Lord could come back. And we don't know when that's going to happen. The Bible tells us specifically that no one knows the hour nor the day, but only the Father. That's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. And so you can know for sure that if anyone out there is predicting the Lord's second coming, that they're not right. In fact, it's been tried many, many times and has failed many, many times by man who have thought that they have known the day and time that the Lord was going to come back. And so no one knows, and no one knows even the hour when Jesus will return. Matthew 24 and verse 42 tells us. And so we need to be prepared at all times. We need to be prepared as if the Lord is going to come back at any moment. Now, that doesn't mean we do what some of those in the church in Thessalonica did, that is, quit their jobs and just sit around and wait for the Lord to come back. That's not being prepared either. That's not taking care of our responsibilities. We must live as if there's going to be a next day. We must work as if we need to take care of our responsibilities for those who are within our lives. But at the same time, we also need to be prepared spiritually, because those lives could be interrupted at any moment. And so it's due to the uncertainty of life that we need to be prepared. For Jesus to find us watching, we need to be prepared. When should we prepare? Right now. Right now. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Today is the day of salvation. How do we prepare? We've got to get right in our relationship with God. Do what we need to do to be faithful to Him each and every day. And be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. So for Jesus to find us watching, we must be prepared. But then secondly, for Jesus to find us watching, we must be patient. We must be patient. Patience keeps us faithful to the Lord. Consider the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verses 11 through 15. You know, the sower went out and he sowed that seed, right? And some of the seed fell on the wayside. Some of the seed fell on the thorny soil, some on the rocky soil, and some on the good ground. And the wayside soil, the birds came and ate the seed and took it away. And the rocky soil, the seed germinated and grew for a little bit, but then it withered under the sun. The thorny soil, the seed grew and the thorns choked it out. But finally, the good soil brought forth fruit. And what's interesting is that what Jesus says about that. That soil brings forth fruit with patience. With patience, it brings forth fruit. That was the only ground that Jesus said was patient. The other soils were not patient. And that's interesting, because we need to be that good soil, that patient soil. You know, sometimes things happen that are very exciting and are very wonderful and that excite us and fill us with joy. And those are the good times. And then there's times that things are just kind of steady and there's not much going on. It's not very exciting and things just don't seem to be kicking, you know. Those times are the times when we need to be patient. God knows what is going on. He understands what each one of us are dealing with. And patience is something that we need while we're waiting for the Lord. Consider Mark chapter 13 and verses 32 through 37 for just a moment. It tells us the story of one who's gone on a journey. Mark chapter 13 and verses 32. It says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." What if you were that servant, that doorkeeper that he was talking about here in verse 34? You know, this was a person who had a house and he was going into a far country on a journey and he left his doorkeeper or his housekeeper there at the house to take care of the house while he was gone. That person's sole responsibility was just to sit at that house and make sure that it was kept for his master's return. Now, that's not a very glamorous job. It's not a very exciting thing to do. But nevertheless, the master had given that person that job to do and asked that person to stay there and watch that house. What if that person left? What if the person abdicated their responsibilities? When the master returned, then he would be very upset. with his servant. And so the servant had to expect his master's return each and every day, being prepared every day for the master to come back. We must be patient. Patience means waiting. It means thinking that Jesus is going to return. We don't know when, but he will. Are we going to watch or are we going to sleep? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." What does it mean to sleep in that context? It means to let go of our spiritual responsibilities. It means to stop being faithful to the Lord. It means to just do whatever we want to do. That's what it means to be asleep. Watching means that you're ready, that you're patient, that you're understanding that Jesus is coming back and you're going to be prepared for that. Patience also keeps us working in the Lord. Matthew 24, 45 and 46, Jesus said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." There are things that we as Christians must do, and he wants us to continue to do, continue to work. Patience keeps us working. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmoving, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Regardless of how little it may be, that is, from a worldly point of view, that labor is important to the Lord. The Lord sees every coloring sheet that is made for the kids to color. The Lord knows about every prayer that is prayed at your kitchen table. Every little thing that seems very innocuous and very unimportant to us is highly valued in the Lord's sight. Patience keeps us working in the Lord. And patience will ultimately bring us to the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Because these verses talk about our running that race faithfully. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with patience," or with endurance, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Run with patience. Running is not a very exciting sport. It's just putting one foot in front of the other over and over again for a very long time. And so it's the ideal example of what it means to be patient. You just keep on doing the same thing you're doing over and over again until you cross the finish line. That's what the Bible is telling us to do. Be patient. Look at James chapter 5 and verses 7 through 11 as well. When we see some thoughts about patience there. "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be patient. Take, my brethren, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Patience, it's something that we need to be faithful to the Lord. It's something we need to watch for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But then, for Jesus to find us watching, we must expect consequences. There are consequences for proper preparation, and there are consequences for improper preparation. The consequences for proper preparation are to hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And if we've been patient, if we have watched, if we've been faithful, when we hear those words, it will make it all worthwhile. Everything that we went through in this life. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Matthew 24, 46 and 47. But there are also bad consequences for improper preparation. Think about Matthew 24, verses 48 through 51. "And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he does not look for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9 teaches us about some who will not be prepared. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. It says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Some do not know God, and they will not be prepared. Some do not obey the gospel, and they will not be prepared. But we must be prepared. Will Jesus find us watching? Let us be prepared. Let us be patient. And let us expect consequences so that we can be faithful to him. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who would like to make preparation for the Lord's second coming this evening. If not a Christian, then that person can hear the gospel message and believe it, repent of sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and begin preparing for the Lord's second coming. Or perhaps there's someone who has not been patient, who has not been faithful, and would like to make things right tonight, rededicate himself or herself to the Lord. You can make that preparation this evening by asking for the prayers of the church to help you be more prepared for Christ's second coming. When Jesus comes, will we be ready? Let's stand and sing this song of invitation as we think about this great message.